This is when the book introduces the promises. Did we do the promises yet? Did we go through those? We didn't. Now, this is a part of the book that's read a lot. Even some meetings regularly and or conventions do, and people get very dramatic and burst into tears. I was sober a while, and I wondered, when do the promises come true for me? And the promises come true for me when I start, it says, halfway through the ninth step, tenth step, or ninth, eighth and ninth, amends. Amends. Before I do the promises, I want to talk a little bit about sex. If you don't want to listen to this, you know, just leave. And I want to point out that the fact is, there's a lot more to sex than penises and vaginas. That just has to be said out loud, because a lot of us don't know that, you see, and we think that if you're breathing heavy, this has to be sexual. And sexuality is an awful lot bigger than that, and when we come into sobriety and come into recovery, a lot of us have tremendous confusion about women and men and the tension or the joy that exists between women and men. And I just want to spend a few moments on that. I'm taking this today, I was reading this today, Stage 2 Relationships, Love Beyond Addiction by Ernie Larson. It's a nice thin book full of good ideas. I love thin books. No pictures, but lots of diagrams. And he says, one of the crazy-making things between women and men is that there really are differences between women and men. We're raised differently. Culturally, we're raised differently. And unless we can talk about that, we keep misfiring. He says, for instance, women are raised to do the following. Number one, please others, it will make you feel good. So always please. However, with men, win. It will make you feel good. It's real different. Number two, act in response to others' needs. This is why so many women are such great nurturers. But some women aren't, you know, and that's not right or wrong. But see, where's nurses, teachers, act in response to other needs. With men, it's be independent, do it yourself. Okay, well, that's a bit of a clash. Number three, for women, wait. Others must initiate. Right? You have to be that, you know, look like you don't care. Another thing, number four for women, look good. But you can never look good enough. Okay, I mean, there's always something wrong. Number five, women are raised to remember that people count, and their feelings and goals count more than yours. You see, that's to set you up for motherhood, I guess, or something. But it's, you know, sure, go ahead, you know, I'll just sit home and have a little cream soda. Number six, women, know that not too much is expected of you. You know, results are not essential. You're decorative anyway. You know. So just kind of bat your eyes and look at your husband in an adoring way, and we'll get along fine. Number seven, for women, serve, be of use to others. Eight, place a high value on romance. Prince Charming is on the way. And he's probably drunk. Number nine, don't risk. That's how others fail. You know? And 10, receiving is acceptable. People will give you things. Okay. Culturally, that's a lot. So none of those are necessarily bad, but they can sure put you in a bind. And when you try to communicate on an honest way with men who are raised very differently, see, the values aren't the same. With men, all right, the win, it makes you feel good. Be independent, do it yourself. Number three, be tough, don't cry, don't let others know how you feel. I mean, when you hear a man talk about feelings, photograph him. Because it's amazing. Coming into AA, it's a whole new thing. I mean, what do you mean, feelings? What feelings? Had one once, didn't like it. Number four, for men, never surrender. When you give in, you have failed. Gary Hart? Maybe next week it'll be 2% of the vote, you know. Number five, for men, production counts. You didn't try hard enough if you didn't get the results. Produce. This is why Gertrude Stein refers to the life of the American male as between your first step and your first heart attack. You see? Production counts. Six, for men, life is tough. You must be able to endure tough times. Which is another reason why you can't let your feelings show, by the way. You know, because, I mean, tough, you know, it's just hard out there. Number seven, you are successful if you have things to show. You know, new car, new wife, new kids, you know, mine, I'm successful. New house, you know, things. Number eight, control things around you. Your wants count. You see, if I want it, it's mine. If you want it, we'll negotiate. Number nine, and this is true with a lot of men, risk. It is the door to success. So men frequently risk a lot of things that women would never think of risking. And number 10, for men, never receive. Receiving makes you dependent. This is why a lot of men have this lousy patience. You know, I mean, if your husband or boyfriend ever gets sick, you know, you just want to shoot him. Because that's not a comfortable role for a man to be. No, I'm fine, leave me alone. You know, I'll just sit here and sweat. Don't bother me! Getting sober is part of realizing the roles those play, and we almost, to get well, have to break through those. You know, men, for instance, have to learn how to lose sometimes. Not everything is winning. Sometimes you can just sit down and be friends. Not everything is competition. That's very uncomfortable for a lot of us, because we know competition best. I don't do some things because there's competition there. I just stay out of some places. I'm not up to competing. Goodbye. And number two, on this independence, see, we have such a terror of being dependent on, being helpless. Blanche is an Al-Anon speaker out of Texas, and she says, babies are dependent. Okay, they need people a lot just to survive. Adolescents are independent. You know, leave me alone. Where are you going? Out. When you're coming back? Later. But, and see, a lot of us stop right there. Boom. I'm independent. But she says grown-ups are interdependent. Where I need you and you need me. Not all the time, but regularly. So coming to meetings, I mean, I don't want to go to all those meetings and be dependent. Well, sometimes I'm very dependent. Other times, I'm very independent. I mean, we're interdependent. There's a give and take in grown-up stuff. Never surrender. You better to get here. Lots of people, rather than surrender, die. You know, right back, well. So, some things to reflect on. Back to promises. It says, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. Amazement. Sometimes we have great discussions on what is spiritual. You know, spiritual program. We try to make a distinction between spiritual and religion. I think that's an important distinction to make. It's also important to say there are healthy spiritualities and there are sick spiritualities, and there's good religion and bad religion. Those are all just simply true. That which helps us be alive and connect and participate and be fully human is good stuff. That which shuts us down, constricts us, and makes us isolated and alone is bad stuff. Spiritual qualities. When we're talking about them, we're talking about the stuff we cannot buy or sell or measure or weigh. As Americans, we almost have an instant prejudice on that. If we can't buy it, sell it, measure it, or weigh it, it's not real. But that's not true. It's very real. One of the spiritual values or qualities that a lot of us start to experience in recovery is curiosity. That's a spiritual experience. If you've ever been curious, it's a spiritual experience. If you've ever changed your mind, it's a spiritual experience. If you've ever learned something, it's a spiritual experience. And that's very important stuff that takes place on a real deep level. If you can be curious, change your mind, and learn things, you have entered the world of the Spirit. Okay. It says here, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, the amend steps, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. Amazement is a spiritual experience. Some of us come in here a little cynical and burned out, and we haven't been amazed or impressed or moved by anybody or anything. And all of a sudden, something wakes up inside of us and we find delight, joy, connection. We go to a meeting and instead of them just being numbers sitting on the chairs, we find out we like these people. It's a spiritual experience. It can be very disturbing. That rattles cages. Especially, and one of the big things that rattles my cage, at a meeting, someone I hate will talk about exactly what I need to hear. I'm depressed for 2 days after something like that. It really rattles the cage, you know. Next promise, we're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Freedom and happiness, what are they talking about? See, I just didn't want to have to drink again. And they're doing freedom, happiness. Give me a break. Who cares? We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I knew that was wrong because I had nailed the door shut on some stuff. And I was not going to open it up. It was too scary. It was too painful. I kind of knew what was there. But I figured if I didn't officially know it, it wasn't real. What's the problem? Stay ignorant. Ignorant is my best defense.
Please turn the tape over and continue on the other side.